John Wesley Powell, one of America's most persistent explorers, died 100 years ago today. Powell became a national hero in 1869 after his pioneering exploration of the Grand Canyon. Historian William DeBuys.
He was like an American Odysseus. He went into the unknown, he acquired great knowledge, and he brought it back to society for its benefit.
But society wasn't always receptive. Powell was driven from Washington for trying to plan and contain the settlement of the American West. He also envisioned committees of local and competing interests managing federal land. That idea is back in the form of a national preserve in New Mexico, managed by trustees led by DeBuys. It's an unprecedented experiment that could become a model for public lands elsewhere. NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
High above the New Mexico desert, at what seems like the top of the world, the view seduces drivers to overlooks.
Wow. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. A friend of mine described it as one of those holy cow places, although she used a pithier term than cow, where when you see it, you just say, holy cow!
Or holy elk. Down in the vast grasslands below, where hundreds of bulls bugle and cows graze. This is Valles Caldera, a 90,000-acre volcanic bowl filled with seas of yellow grass and lava domes blanketed with pine and fir. It's a Rocky Mountain Serengeti, pretty but not pristine, notes William DeBuys, chairman of the Valles Caldera Trust.
You look around here and this is a hard-working landscape. Look over at Cerro Abrigo there and you can see logging roads just corkscrewing up the side, one road after another. At times it's had tens of thousands of sheep grazing on it. It's been managed as a ranch for over a century, really, and yet it's still in good shape.
Good enough to be sold to the federal government 2 years ago for $100 million. It's part of the National Forest System, but not managed by the Forest Service and not subject to forest regulations and appeals.
Leaving aside the ideological axe grinding that consumes so much of everyone's time in public affairs, but to focus on the reality of the land and what we collectively can agree on as its proper use.
Collective agreement is the goal of a 9-member board of trustees appointed by the president. They're local people mostly, with backgrounds in ranching, forestry, cultural history, government, wildlife, and conservation. They decide what to allow at Valles Caldera. Their common good, the theory goes, triggers common sense.
The key, it seems to me, is for all the vying and competing interests to start, at least, from a common appraisal of what they're working with and what its capacity is. And that's what we're trying to do at the Valles Caldera, too.
So scientists are studying streams, meadows, forests, and wildlife, establishing a baseline of data. That will guide the Board of Trustees, which is saddled with a complex mandate: preserve and protect, but consider logging, grazing, hunting, hiking, and other uses, and try to be financially self-sufficient in the process. It's new, it's experimental, and it's already controversial.
This sign was found on the boundary of the Valles Caldera. By reading the sign, it appears to me that somebody is not happy with the grazing on the Valles Caldera.
The hand-scrawled fiberboard sign is propped against a wall in the office of Leonard Atencio, supervisor of the Santa Fe National Forest and a member of the Valles Caldera Board. The sign greeted drivers at an overlook, calling the Valle Grande below a feedlot for cattle. In fact, 700 cows now graze in the caldera's grassy valles. Atencio marvels at how quickly grazing was arranged.
It usually takes us 2 years to go through a planning process to get grazing approved on national forest. On the Valles Caldera, we went through a process that took us about 6 to 8 months, and we accomplished that without any litigation of any sort.
Which frustrates critics of grazing, like John Horning of Forest Guardians, a group based in Santa Fe.
Every single stream on the caldera is currently violating water quality standards. It's because of the cumulative effects of logging, road building, and cattle grazing. And rather than abide by the precautionary principle and choose to do no harm, the Caldera Board has already approved cattle grazing. And that's the first of what we fear will be a long line of examples of how not to manage a premier landscape.
The grazing underway now is a temporary emergency measure to help 40 local ranchers stricken by drought. They're grateful for that, and they're pushing for more grazing more often. Carlos Salazar grazes cattle on Valles Caldera's northern border.
They'd rather see a manch maybe as a preserve, and that's what it is. It's turned out to be a preserve. They had indicated there that they would be grazing, but you know they've limited their grazing this year. It's hard to say what's going to happen in future years.
Uncertainty is a common concern for people wanting something from Valles Caldera. Even something as simple as hiking is anything but simple there.
Well, welcome to the first ever Valle Grande hike. A lot of the people here have done this before, but not legally. So we've got a little stepladder to get over the fence. We'll help you over.
The gates at Valles Caldera are always locked and visitors are banned from its rough dirt roads. So hikers are bussed in for organized and escorted walks and charged more than $40 for the privilege. This group includes Stephanie Johnson of Los Alamos.
You know, it is worth something to have somebody take you someplace and walk you through and give you a guided tour and share information that you might not otherwise get or have. I'm not bothered by it. I wouldn't be able to do it very often, you know.
Some worry steep fees lock out people of modest means. There's also concern about the congressional mandate for self-sufficiency. David Henderson directs the New Mexico chapter of the Audubon Society.
There's oil and gas resources there. There's timbering potential. There's geothermal potential, grazing, big elk herd, recreation. I mean, there's great possibilities, great opportunities, but with opportunities, there's room for abuse. And when you have to make money, do you let somebody hike on the property for $5 a day? Or do you turn it over to a oil and gas wildcatter to see if they can, in a quick turnaround, get you a couple million in revenue? There's pressures there.
Hunters want a shot at these elk. Native Americans expect unlimited access to sacred sites. This is just a sampling of the competing interests. William DeBuise of the Valles Caldera Trust believes the scientific work underway will guide the board wisely.
Where we're headed is into an experiment in land management that has never fully been undertaken before, and that's what's important about this place. We are collecting the data that will allow us to tell what direction this landscape is changing. And if it changes in a direction we don't like, then we know that's where the line is. We need to pull back with the human activities.
And that, of course, depends on the trustees. There's widespread concern that board appointments will become politicized, that a president could choose trustees more interested in exploitation than protection. The Bush administration is among those watching closely. It has its own proposal, known as Charter Forests, for similar management of public lands. The apparent working model is here, where Valles Caldera scrapes blue New Mexico sky. Howard Berkus, NPR News.